chapter 29, excuse me, chapter 24, and we will begin. If I start teaching y'all Matthew chapter 29, y'all are going to be really in for something, because that'd mean I'm making it up. There's not a Matthew 29. Okay, Matthew 24, we begin in verse 36. And it says, but, in the words are in red, of course Jesus is speaking as he has been throughout this whole chapter. And it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus, by using the days of Noah as an illustration, he's making a point here really about the attitude and the mindset of people during those end times, and even perhaps qualifying the times we live in now, if they in fact be the end times. And it's going to be feelings of apathy, feelings of indifference. Jesus is describing here a people that are not expecting the return of the Lord. They're not anticipating it. They're, in spite of the perilous times that the Bible tells us that will be happening during that time, despite of the signs and the wonders that will be all around, we've been studied in depth along the way about them, they still won't believe the end is nearing. And it's hard for us to imagine a society that could be so blind to something like that. But the truth of the matter is, this is really not unprecedented. This kind of lends towards what's taken place really all throughout history. The tendency is for people to try to always, in times of difficulty or changing times, to always be able to try to kind of explain it away and give an excuse or rationalize those things and really look for answers in everything except what the Word of God says. And we think about the first coming of the Lord Jesus, it was not much different. Along with his wonderful, wonderful teaching ministry, he also did all kinds of supernatural work, as you and I know. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick and the diseased. He raised the dead. He walked on water, calmed the storm, gave sight to the blind. All of these miracles, he was totally characterized by miraculous work. But yet, what did most of the religious people do? They tried to explain him away. They tried to discredit him. They tried to make excuse or explain. They couldn't deny what was happening. They couldn't deny the miracles. But in spite of that evidence of him being the Son of God, who he said he was, not only is he declaring he's the Son of God, but he's given these signs and wonders to lend credibility to what he's saying, and they still tried to explain it away and even describe him as a man who was working under the power of Satan. And so you see anything except the truth was tolerable by them. And they couldn't deny those what was happening, but the next step was to devise some sort of explanation for what is happening. So even if the explanation was ludicrous, and it'll be the very same way in the end times, the people being willingly blind, deliberately closing their eyes to what they see happening around them because they don't want to face it. And so it's going to be that way. It was that way with Jesus' first coming, and it'll be that way with the second coming, according to what Jesus says here. The world will be filled with sin and ungodliness. It's going to be getting spiritually darker and darker as time progresses, and that in itself should be alarming. That in itself should draw the attention of people saying, what's going on here? We got to be nearing the end. But in addition to that, we're going to have all the things that we've been talking about as we studied this chapter, the upheaval of the heaven and earth, and all the various catastrophic events that are going to be taking place. Is that going to be enough to change their minds? No, Still not. And so Jesus describes this, uses the illustration of the days of Noah. He says in the days of Noah, people were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and being given to marriage. And it was just kind of business as usual. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the rain began, and soon the rain turned to a flood, and then it was too late. The writing had been on the wall. Noah had been preaching righteousness and the fact that this destruction was going to come, and they didn't listen. And so verse 39 tells us that the flood took them away. It says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The word flood there in the Greek is a word kataklusmos. Okay, not trying to be fancy, but I read the smart guys that are fancy, and it just simply means a deluge or a washing away. We get our modern word cataclysm from that Greek word. What is a cataclysm? According to the dictionary, it's a doomsday event or a large-scale disaster. So essentially what's being said there is people will be blind and preoccupied with their temporal things, like they were in the days of Noah, marrying and being given to marriage, until the doomsday hits. And then the last part of verse 39 says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Besides the blindness that people are going to have, the earth occupants are going to just be totally ignorant of what they see happening around them. And then they're going to try to explain those things away. The signs and the wonders that they see, a third part of heaven falling to the earth, different things that we've already talked about, they're going to try to explain that away. They're going to try to say, oh, well, it's global warming or whatever. And they're also going to be this sense of, he's going to come. I know they've been saying that for about 2,000 years. There's going to be that kind of attitude as well. Well, the scripture predicts that mentality over in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read you these verses. I know many of you will know them. Verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's exactly what I'm just talking about. Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. That's what I'm talking about. This, oh, yeah, we've been hearing that all our life. And grandma and grandpa said that, and their grandparents said that, and everything stays the same. Well, in a nutshell, that verse Jesus is describing there, Peter is in that text, because God's promises of returning have yet to happen, they believe that there is no promise. Well, that's foolish. God is not bound to time and space like human beings are. In fact, our text goes on to say in 2 Peter there, a couple of verses later in verse 8, it says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God doesn't work within the same framework of time that we do. He works within the framework of eternity, okay? All you and I know is watches and calendars. That's the only thing we understand. That's of no interest at all to God, because time is nothing to him, okay? How many years did Noah preach? Anybody? How many years did Noah preach that the ark was that destruction was coming, was going to be a flood? 120 years. Y'all need to read your Bibles, okay? No, 120. I always get 150 or 120, so I probably would have answered wrong myself. But 120 years, he warned them that the flood was coming. That's a long time to keep saying the same thing over and over and over. That's just the same old repetitious message. But they just turned a deaf ear to it. And so that same 120 years being looked at through the eternal eyes of God is nothing. It's just a flash. It's just a moment in God's timing, okay? Delayed fulfillment is not no fulfillment. God says it, it's going to happen. Might not be in the timing that we understand, but it's going to happen. It means that if it hasn't happened yet, it just means that that promise lies ahead. It's down the road, however far God wants it to be. How many of you have seen this new show that's been on one of the networks, major networks there, Survival Mode? Have anybody watched that? Okay. So when you should have been reading your Bible and knowing the answer to that question, you can... Okay, you've watched it. Well, I'm surprised you guys haven't seen it because I don't get a lot of primetime TV, but I noticed it. And what it is, it's a show that's been coming on each week that tells stories of, they'll take a particular major catastrophe or like the fires in Maui, Hawaii, tornado, massive tornado in Joplin, Missouri, and they'll pick out some survivors out of that, a handful of different people, and they'll tell their story, and this involves a lot of footage of the actual events and all of this. And so the last episode, I believe it was Monday night, was dealing with Hurricane Ian. If you'll remember, that's the hurricane in 2022 that hit the west coast of Florida with full force. This was it had been a Category 5 hurricane, and by the time it hit them, I think it had been reduced to maybe a 3. But this program showed just an extreme amount of footage of that, in what was happening there in Florida along the coast there. And I'm telling you, it's just I've never imagined a hurricane could do what it was doing. It looked like rivers of water. I mean, just moving houses and from a hurricane. It just I know they're very damaging, but I'd never seen anything like that. Well, my point is, two or three of the people made the comment that they were focusing on survivors, made the comment that they did not evacuate when they were told to, because time and time again they had been warned about particular hurricanes and what was going to happen, and those things didn't happen. And they, so essentially, they kind of got lulled to sleep, and they got blind to what could happen, and they decided, hey, this is gonna just same old, more of the same, if you will, and so we're just going to stay put this time. And every single one of them said there came a moment in time there when some people, they're on the second floor and their water's still coming up to their head and they're running out of space on the second floor, that they there was a point in a time that they said, we made a big mistake. A big mistake, okay? They regretted what they had done. And it's really an absolute miracle that any of them survived. But the storm proved to be even worse than they had ever forecasted. 150 mile an hour winds, 15 foot of water coming inland for a long ways. It was catastrophic, to say the least. But there again, let's get back to our text here. That gives us a little glimpse of human nature, how over time we can rationalize and we can adjust our mind and our thinking to almost any circumstance that surfaces here on earth, and become blind to possibilities, okay? We become indifferent to things that should otherwise have us very alarmed, okay? It's in our nature. So the days before Jesus returns are going to be characterized by all of these signs and wonders and all of these catastrophic events. In spite of those people being told that the end is near. You remember the gospel is going to be preached worldwide. We've already learned that. There's going to be 144,000 Jews that are saved that will be proclaiming the gospel. There are going to be these two great witnesses, great evangelists, going to be proclaiming the gospel. So all of the surrounding happenings and the message coming at them that Jesus is coming, and they're still going to be blind. And perhaps even scoff and say, you guys shut up. And so it makes you wonder what things we might be blind to. It makes you wonder what things in our life are written on the wall, so to speak, and we're not seeing them. It's kind of the human nature is really scary at times. But let me just share with you another element, and I'll be done. Another element that will add to the people's mindset during the tribulation. I'm going to ask you to turn over in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me touch on this briefly and then we'll have you on your way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs of lying wonders." Okay, he's talking about the Antichrist and the beast, okay? And verse 10, "And all with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish," "because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now that's a mouthful, but if you understand what's being taught there, this text is telling us that for those in the tribulation period that have had opportunity, in other words, those that heard the gospel before the rapture took place, those that had Jesus had been declared to them, but they rejected that message. They said no to Jesus, okay, when it was clearly presented to them. Verse 10 tells us they received not the love of the truth. They turned away from that love of the truth, the gospel message that they might be saved. They turned away from it. Then, because of that, when they're in the tribulation period, which is deserving of God's wrath because they rejected Jesus, God will cause them to be overcome. It uses the term delusion there. During that, in other words, they will be so blind to what's happening around them and the message of the gospel, it'll border on delusion. It paints a picture that they will be so blinded that they won't even they wouldn't recognize Jesus if he stood before them. Okay, in a nutshell, they wasted their opportunity, and because of that, there is no opportunity during the tribulation period. Now, we studied and we know that there are a lot of people saved during the tribulation period. We've talked about that and we'll talk about that more and along the way. I'm not saying no one will be saved, but those who had that opportunity prior to the rapture and they rejected Christ, their time is up. They don't have that opportunity during the 7 years of tribulation, okay? And so you add that to all the other blindness that's taking place, and it's going to be really amazing that all of this is unfolding and people will be doing just like they did in Noah's day, eating, drinking, marrying, and being given to marriage. In other words, business as usual when the whole world is unraveling before them. Hard to imagine. Okay, appreciate you guys very much, and we will stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Hope to see you guys here Sunday morning. Bring somebody with you, okay? Invite somebody to church. All right, good deal.